Oasis Podcast, episode 35, Issei and Oasis A to Z, It's Good to Be Free. Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, episode 35. Really good episode for you today. We've got an interview with Issei, or YZ as Noel calls her, who's the singer on Fort Knox and Be Careful What You Wish For. And she's also got her own solo stuff as well, so I'll be linking that below and playing bits of it in the interview. So I hope you enjoy that. And this is the second of my new Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds double feature, because we spoke to Jess last week, so so I hope you enjoy that. Now all I need is Charlotte, and then we've got the three new women of the High Flying Birds, which would be great. I've also got coming up as well the next installment of Oasis A to Z, which today we are talking about It's Good to Be Free. I'll be covering off your comments on Twitter, and also we've got an audio message and an interview with the Oasis guys. I went to see them in Reading a couple of weeks ago, and that was really good fun to have a chat with those guys. So some really good stuff coming up. But first off, let's have a bit of news. I mean, there's been so much going on in both Gallagher Brothers worlds. It's been ridiculous, really. So I can't cover it all. So Noel has been all over the press, doing loads of different press things, promoting the album. One of them was Graham Norton. And it was quite a funny bit where he waved at Liam, and it was actually quite nice, because every talk of Liam in the last few weeks has been quite harsh. And this was, I mean, it's still a bit cheeky. He says he's obsessed with him, but it was a bit of fun. So let's have a bit of that.
And what's the Jack Black connection? Do you know each other, or?
Do we?
Do we have a history?
Do we?
I don't know.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Only my kids are huge fans of School of Rock. I don't think...
Yeah. Oh, OK. Wasn't there something about working together?
No.
No.
That is it. Now it's embarrassing. It was his brother, Liam. There was a thing.
Wow.
That's all we have time for tonight.
It's a daily occurrence.
I tried to shut that down with my eye contact to you.
I'm still No, because you were looking so blank, and I was thinking, that's so weird that he can't even remember that. I do find this fascinating, this imagery. So, that, like, do you talk, like, you watch each other? So if he was on here, did you watch him on here?
No.
Oh, so, but he watches you?
Oh, he's obsessed. He'll be watching this now. Can we all say hello to him? Where is he? What camera's on there?
There you
Hi,
go.
Liam.
Noel also appeared on the Mike on Much podcast, which was quite funny. So here's a little clip of that.
When I used to say, we are going to be the greatest band in the world, I meant it. I knew it. I fucking knew it. I knew enough about music to know that after I wrote Live Forever, I knew it. I talked the talk. And I only talked the talk because I knew I could back it up. So I could go out and talk shit about any band in the fucking universe and just say, yeah. And people would say, what, these fucking arrogant fuckers? And I'd say, yeah. Well, I've just written a song called Champagne Supernova. So I suck my balls.
Nice. Thank you for that, Noel. He's done loads more interviews. So he's done stuff on Football Focus and with TalkSport and loads of stuff. And a lot of it very entertaining. So make sure you check that stuff out. In the Liam world of things, he finished the US leg of the tour. He skipped a couple of dates because he was ill, apparently. I think that the effect of it looked like there was just too many dates in too short a time with not enough rest for his voice. And so he had to miss a couple of dates, which was unfortunate. Hopefully he'll get, for those guys in the States that have missed those, he'll get those booked back in. Back over in the UK, he started the tour. He's played in Plymouth and London at Ali Pali, and I know a few guys have been to see him and said he was on great form, really good set list. So let's have a bit of that now.
Sunlight, sand, and sunshine.
I think you can hear there with the likes of Rocking Chair, and some might say that, you know, these songs are a bit of a struggle for him. And yeah, doing these so many dates in quick succession is going to take the toll on the voice. So I just hope, for the sake of everyone that did manage to get tickets for this tour, obviously I didn't, but for those of you that did and are due to go and see him in the next few days, I really do hope that that he doesn't cancel anymore. You know, but you never know with Liam, the way he sings, as we talked about, the way he just pushes it out and gives it 100% every show. Yeah, there is every chance he could end up cancelling. I'm really sorry if he does, guys. So we're coming to the end of the year, and it's around this time that we get all the sort of end of year reviews and looking back on it. And the BBC did their Music of 2017 review show, and Liam got a couple of mentions on that, which is really good. And it will be interesting to see in the sort of the year-end kind of best albums and the award shows where Liam and Noel go. I think I mentioned on here before, you know, there's a good chance that they will both be nominated for best male, at least, possibly even best album, but I would imagine definitely best British male at the Brit Awards. So then it will be a case of, well, do they both show up? That will be very interesting to see. So let's move on to this interview with Issy. Audrey. So yeah, as I said, apologies, the sound quality is not ideal. It's one of these telephone ones that it's not the best. I think she was also in like a cafe. She may have even been in France, I think, I'm not sure, but I think you can get the gist of it. I did think about sort of chopping a lot of it down, but I think I'd rather you guys heard the interview in full, even if parts of it are a little bit tricky to hear. But anyway, I hope you really enjoy it, and then stay tuned afterwards, and we will do the Oasis A to Z. But after this brief musical interlude, it will be me talking to Audrey, aka Issy. So is it Audrey or Issy? What's the best, what's the name to use?
It's Issy. Audrey Issy is my personal name, okay. And Issy is, I mean, Noel says Wisey, so I guess we should say Wisey, because it's him who is basically bringing me, at least in the UK, so yeah, let's say Wisey.
Wisey.
Y-S-E-E.
Yeah, I can imagine that in Noel's sort of Manchester accent, Wisey. That would be good. That's fine.
But, oh my God, yeah.
But so this is taking it back. So you grew up in France to a couple of...
Yeah, I grew up in the south of France, in Marseille.
Oh, yeah.
Marseille. And yeah, I've been raised there by auntie, because my parents were in Africa, in Benin, West Africa. Mm-hmm. Is where I originally come from, and grew up in a little town. Always been interested on music, just started to actually sing in choir in churches and all that, like a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And decided after high school to basically do that full time. So yeah, it's what I've done. I went in Paris after. Graduated from psychology, some studies that I was not totally into, but that helped me a lot. Helped me a lot by now. I can say that it helped quite a lot to actually study psychology, because we are in a world that is crazy.
Yes.
And so it's really good to know that the things. But so I went in Paris and then started working at the beginning as a back vocalist for some great band. I mean, it went quite quickly for me. Started doing some great festivals. I've been singing like with Lauryn Hill in a festival. She came to me and went into a room and did some I don't know, it was all, the beginnings were all very magical, and it still is, but I mean, that was, all the journey has been very, very magical,
No, well, that's cool, and you've played with Tony Allen, who is the famous drummer for Fela Kuti.
I was the main singer for Tony Allen, he, 2008, I think, I met him in some kind of dressing room in backstage after a show, and he took my hand and said, I will see you again, and I was just like, I mean, you know, I know what it is, and he was just like, no, you don't know me, I'm going to call you one day, and I was just like, okay, and after a year and a half, something like that, he called back and said, I'm with Sheon Kuti, so the son of Fela Kuti, in a studio, and we need some vocals, would you be able to come? I was in Marseille. I didn't say just to get a ticket or train and just went there. And yeah, that was a kind of test, I guess. And it all started from there. Basically, he put me on a stage like that. It was just like, you do whatever you do. He didn't give me any lyrics or anything. And just he just asked me if I would go on tour with him. Of course, I said yes. And yeah, that was the beginning in 2009. As me doing some big shows as the lead singer, he just trusted me straight away, like he knew me, like if he knew me before, and that trust was even more than what I could have for myself, definitely. But it brought me so much strength, because I had to do it. I wanted to have this challenge more than fine, you know. I wanted to overcome that, and that was beautiful, because he became like a kind of godfather, you know. He was 70 years old at that time, and now he's 77. He's a beautiful musician and person. I've learned so much about music and listening and humanity, I would say. Really, the guy doesn't separate what he is in his music than from what he is in real life, you know. He's one of the most honest person I know. He doesn't play any game, never. If he doesn't like something, you know. And if he does, you know, and I mean, you know, so it's like a baby.
Well, that's great, isn't it? I suppose, especially when you're collaborating with like that, you need to be told if something's working or if something's not. Yeah.
Exactly, and I had a lot to learn. I mean, I've been just like, thrown into the jungle of like festivals with like 10,000 people and 20,000 people, sometimes a million in São Paulo, and sometimes 500 in a club, and it has to be the same. It has to be the same. Listening and same love and the same performance, and I've learned so much. I've been really learning so much. He was not saying anything. He's just a telepath, you know, so he can say things from where he is, wherever he is. You can feel, can hear the vibe. You can feel it. I mean, everyone in the band knows when he's happy or when he's not. You don't need to watch him, you know. So he's so as strong as that. And yeah, he's been always collaborating with other people as well, which is a great part for me, which was a great part, because I could end up in the Barbican doing some big shows with Damon Albarn, with Jimmy Tenor, with, I don't know how many people I've met with him. And it's also, apart from what we had in our own set, we had a lot of collaboration going on, and that was teaching me so much all the time. Like the same Afrobeat was fitting in everywhere, and with pop music, with hard electronic music, with electronic music, the fusions all the time were like, working. So it's like we could do anything, and it's what you were always saying me, you can do anything. And coming from France and having a kind of background pop background and all that, that was new for me, because I thought, you know, the chorus, verse, bridge was the one. And then I definitely discovered, like, the possibilities we had, infinite possibilities, and that was the beginning of it for me, really.
Oh, fantastic. And you mentioned there about working with Damon Albarn as well through Tony. I mean, how did you find that?
That was amazing. That was another fusion that worked really well, I guess, you know. Just they just are in a room, and I was there when they actually recorded the Go Back for the album, the album of Tony, which is Not the Secret Agent, is the next one, Film of Life, 2014. I have a song with him, the first song is Moving On, so I have that one with him, but Damon came to actually build that song, and they did it in like 3 hours, and I've seen the process, and I was mad. I was just mad, because, you know, the two experienced and very fan of each other as well, which helps a lot. Experienced men just brought into a room, and one with his drum playing, and just not thinking, and one with his keyboard, with the piano playing, not thinking. And then something happens, and something builds, and the first layer, and the second layer, and the third layer, and by 5 layers, it's already done. Above the satellite, and a runaway. What am I gonna do with you if you go back? You're a runaway. What am I gonna do with you if you go back? And I was just like, what? So,
wow.
You know, that song Go Back is so beautiful, and yeah, it's how they did it, like, very the most humble kind of session I've seen in my life. So yeah, I could only be be amazed and watching and learning and listening, and just be like, okay, it's where I have to go. So you know, that's inspiring.
That's great. And growing up, I mean, was Oasis and Blur and these bands, those people, and like Uncle, now you've worked with as well, we can talk about, but were these people in your radar while you were growing up and getting into music, or is this were you aware of like Oasis and Blur?
Yeah, I was aware. I was in France, and it was not, I guess, as big as it could be if I grew up in the UK, definitely. But of course they were around, of course they were there. Was it something I was totally into? Maybe 100%. I of course loved what I've heard from radio, but I didn't really have my own records and all that. But still, I didn't need it to be where they were everywhere anyway. So. I grew up, and of course it's a part of the influence that I was listening a lot of radio, like the radio, I mean the mainstream radio, I'm sorry to say, was not as crap as today. and so you could hear at that time great stuff and be inspired by great stuff, and I'm happy, you know, I'm a little bit over 30, and I'm happy to have known that, because I could listen to radio and have great stuff. Anyway, to come back to Blur and Oasis, yeah, I knew about that kind of fight that I think was, you know, really mediatic, and I knew about their music, definitely. But I would never think one day I would be in doing my thing in some music. I've always been attracted a lot by the English language. I really wanted to speak English very quickly. I've always been into England. All the time I was coming, when I started to come by 18 years old, 19, I was always feeling like home in the UK. There was something. I don't know what it was, maybe past life, I don't know. But, you would have told me you would do something with Noah Gallagher, like in, 15 years ago, I would have told you, yeah, really, why? Cool, but I don't know how.
And then this is where Wisey, a beautiful a singer from Marseille, makes an appearance on the record. She does the high spooky voodoo things on Fort Knox. But the day we met her, she came to do Be Careful What You Wish For, and the story goes she's walking through a market in South London buying jewellery, and this girl looks so striking. She looks like a character from Star Wars. It's unbelievable. And the woman who was selling her the jewellery said, oh, you're amazing. What do you do? And she said, oh, I'm from Marseille, you know, in London, trying to get to the music business. And she said, oh, I've got a friend of a friend who happens to be making a record at the moment. I think they're looking for singers. And so this friend of a this woman gets in touch with the friend who gets in touch with a friend who gets in touch with David and said, they found this girl, she looks amazing. And David says to me one day, oh, this girl's going to pop by. She might, I don't know, she might be great, she might not be. She's going to sing on this track. Honestly, when she walked in, I was like, wow. I don't care what she sings, it's because she's definitely coming on tour. And she kind of was like, she's dressed in a kimono with Adidas tracksuit bottoms on and looked like she got off the Millennium Falcon. And I was like, wow. And we got on immediately straight away and she was like, well, what kind of thing do you want? I was like, I have no idea. She said, what's the song about? And he went through what the song was, you know, was loosely what it was about. She went in and she started singing that refrain. I've got the moment on my phone somewhere. Both me and David kind of both swear at the same time, like, fucking hell. And she's incredible. She's such a vibe. And she's going to blow people away on tour. And again, it's another thing that's gonna challenge people as well, you know.
And yeah, that's amazing how life is and how, you know, vision is strong. Like, it's the same thing as what we do in life, you know. Politically, they are all trying to separate us while we are one. And, you know, a refugee from Syria will definitely help someone else growing in some kind of specific domain. And vice versa, you know. And I don't know where we should be stopped by that. And in music, it's the same. It's the same everywhere. We need each other. That's it.
Yeah.
Voilà.
No, that's beautiful. Well, one of the big Oasis songs called Acquiesce, which is one of the most popular and famous ones, says, because we need each other, we believe in one another. And that's you know, that is ultimately what, you know, what the message that Oasis always had, you know, is that, you know, it's that unifying thing. And I think one of the really exciting things that, you know, obviously, I don't know if you've heard Noel's album yet. We haven't yet. It's still a week to go before it comes out. But we're, you know, one of the things that's really exciting about it is that it is so different and it feels like a very collaborative process this time round with David Holmes and with yourself. I mean, how did you, so we've seen the video of, everyone listening to this will have heard seen the behind the scenes video. And so we've heard the story, but this almost sounds too good to be true. You were trying on a ring and then someone said, oh, I know a friend. And then phone is like, this is madness. Yeah. This doesn't happen in real life, does it?
Mad and I don't quit that ring. It's always with me all the time now. Because, you know, the woman who was selling it, I was hesitating. I was hesitating to take that ring because, you know, end of the month, but I don't know if I'm gonna get the ring, maybe you know, living in London you should get something else more practical. And then I was just like, no. And by the time I was hesitating, you know, she told me, she was like, well, what do you do, you know? And you know, it was not the kind of woman who just wanted to sell something. She was really kind and she's a French woman, actually. She's there for 30 years now in London. And I told her I was a singer and she was like, okay, great. I can give you this number. And I was just like, really? I mean, you don't know me? And she, I don't know. I think she's a kind of witch or something. She knew what she was doing, you know? And like I said in the video, I forgot that paper trait. Like, I went back home and I remember that paper, but it was nowhere. And then I moved into a new house in February 2020, beginning of the year, and we found that paper and I called. So we are like, 3 weeks later or something. And And actually, if I had called that day where I was in the market, nothing will happen, because basically, this guy called Arden Kleinman was managing some bands before, tour manager. He was not really into the business anymore. And when I called him, I was just like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, she's cool, my friend, but I really don't know what to do with you. But if you want to meet, yeah, definitely we can meet. And he's like, no, that's fine. That's fine. You know, we don't know each other yet. That's fine. That's fine. And then he called me back at midnight. So I started to find, to think that he was like a dodgy guy or something. And he said, no, I actually have something for you. And now that I know this man, I know the big feeling he has, like the big, big nose feeling he can have. And she called me back and said, we need some French vocals in the record, which now it's not the French vocal that I've done, but at the beginning was that. So I was just like, oh, perfect, you know, but I didn't know which record, I had no idea who, what, where, how, I had no idea. I was just like, okay, he told me I come and pick you up in front of your house tomorrow and we're going to see my friend. He didn't mention the name of the friend, anyone, anything. So I was just like, that's great, but something is telling me to go. So let's go. And 12 o'clock next morning, he came and brought me to a restaurant where David Holmes was there. And that was just a great moment, like a great lunch with nice people, great vibe, like, you know, really, really cool people. I didn't know David had to go very quickly. Like, I had 30 minutes basically to see me, and I didn't know why he was seeing me, really, you know. He was trying to catch me, I guess, very, very, scan me very deeply when he was just eating and having fun with it. And then he left very quickly and said, send me your music this afternoon. I need your music this afternoon really quickly. And I was just like, okay. So Arden, we started to meet with Arden, which I didn't know at all. Which is like, okay, there are new people. I need to find out what you want, really, and we're like, we can do it together. But it's just a nice vibe, really. And then I went back home, sent my music to David, and 15 minutes later, maybe, I had this answer copy, Noel Gallagher, which I found crazy, because I was just like, well, what? And it was written, welcome on board. And I was just like, welcome on board? What? Which board? Where is that mean? And then I've realized that, I will be in a session like 2 weeks later with Noel and doing some stuff.
Wow.
And not really knowing what and how. I was pretty mad, you know, how life is. Because if I had called 3 weeks before, you know, the 3 weeks before, nothing of that. David Holmes was not in London. He's in Belfast. So none of that would have happened. Nothing. Can you imagine?
It's just crazy.
That was the right day, the right time.
And then, so was that? So you went in, and obviously we've all heard the track now, and it's fantastic, and it's great that we've got that behind the scenes video as well has been released, because it's
that's really cool.
It's really nice to see doing your thing in the studio.
The way Noel is talking about, you know, about all of us like doing the song and making the song that beautiful, it's rare.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that it's rare that singers just put everyone else on the front like that and say they are amazing, and they did it, and I did it as well, but they did it. That's really cool and really rare.
I mean, one of the amazing things that, like Noel says in that video, is the fact that the track, he had his vocal on it. It was going to be a normal track, and then he heard your thing and said, no, take my vocal off. I mean, that is amazing.
I don't know. I just don't even believe in it. I cannot say nothing about it. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It just happened. And I'm proud. I'm proud of it's not about me. It's about what happened in that room. You know, David Holmes had the feeling. And because, simply, like, imagine he brought someone he didn't know on a, you know, on a studio. And doing as it's such a big responsibility. I could have been crazy or fun, or I could have sent like my friend demos or and sing like shit, you know, like really.
True.
It could have been a bad day and like or too much pressure, and then I sing like shit while actually I could sing, you know, not anything. And then he got that feeling to bring me there, to trust me, to try something. While obviously they had to try something for that song, and it worked really well. First of all, the vibe, because I think I caught what Noel wanted, and because David couldn't explain it well. So that's all of us, you know, people being relaxed and really themselves and knowing what they want, but at the same time very open, because you know, when sometimes you know what you want and if you then close the door, choose like someone who will bring something else, and they were definitely open to anything, and that helped me a lot. That was one of the best sessions in my life, just because they were so open. I could be myself.
So when you the little different things that you came up with, was Noel sort of saying, "Oh, try this," or was David Holmes saying, "Try this," or was it all coming through just your different ideas? How was that process?
The last me do my thing, and they took a lot of that. And then after all, we had some time where it was like, "Oh, can we try this?" But mostly I was free to bring my things, and I was. I was amazed because they were like, oh yeah, we take it. I need to be more directed, and I could really feel that this time was a match. It was just the right match.
Perfect.
And so you don't have to talk too much about it. You just do it. Of course, if you wanted it something more, and we would definitely I was open and would talk about it, and but it was just the right dosage, you know, of being free and asking for direction, and yeah, that's easy.
No, well, that's absolutely brilliant. It sounds so great. And so it was just that one day, and from what Noel was saying on the video,
we had two sessions.
Was it two sessions? Okay.
Yeah.
And from what Noel was saying on the video, that was the last track done for the album as well. So is that right? So you haven't done anything else for the album? It's just this one.
No, maybe there's another surprise.
Oh, okay. And then going on, obviously Noel's then going to be touring. I'm going to see him in May next year. He's going to be touring quite extensively. Have you do you know if you're going to be involved in that or no?
Well, we're talking about it now, but nothing is confirmed yet, so I cannot say yes.
Okay.
But yeah, it could happen sometimes. We're just talking about it now.
Because I think one of the things that we thought was, you know, because it's such an amazing opening track, that we were thinking, well, maybe this is going to be a track that they'll play on tape for him, for the band to come on stage to, and then so therefore, they wouldn't be playing it live.
Yeah, I don't know, that would be beautiful, but it's not in my hands, really, so I'm just, we'll see what happens, but I'm sure that they will do the best thing they have to, you know.
No, that's great. And then the only other thing I was going to ask about was Uncle as well, because you've done a track with Uncle this year.
Yeah.
So they're absolute legends. So
two tracks, yeah.
Yeah, and how was that? Actually, how did that come about?
One called Farewell and one called The Cowboys or Indian.
Yeah.
It's been I think it was the same kind of crazy stories. I was singing for a Rick Owens show, so it's a designer in France for the Fashion Week. And I was singing with Eska, who is a great singer from UK. She's been a Mercury Prize nominated. We've done that 15-minute piece of music for the catwalk. So basically, we wouldn't talk. We sing for 15 minutes. It was really the first time I was doing something like that. And James Lovell was doing the music, so James Lovell from Uncle was doing the music for that. And we just met that day, and he was just like, "Oh, that would be cool if you can try some stuff on my album later, because guess that we need some vocals." And we just ended up in a room in London, maybe 6 or 7 months later, on a Sunday night with a bit of prosecco and cool coffee balls. And then we've done those two tracks. They were already there, and I just laid down my things, and it was great vibe. Basically it all came out this year, so Jen's Uncle in August and Noel very soon. So that's beautiful for me. That's part of the UK culture, I guess, that I don't even really, really, really know what to do, but I'm there now.
Well, it's cool because his uncle, the first Uncle album was absolutely massive, and Radiohead, Tom York was on it, and Ian Brown was on it, and it was such a big deal, and DJ Shadow and James Lavelle, such legends, and then,
I know.
And sort of, and then around the same time of that, was when David Holmes had sort of broke through as well. So I've always kind of had those guys in. Around that same time, the late 90s, as these sort of great producers and of eclectic and interesting stuff, and so it's just really cool that you've worked with both of them in the same year.
No, that's amazing. I mean, that's why it all makes sense without making sense,
because
it's about a ring or a random meeting, but it all makes sense. That I don't control it, but it all makes sense in a way.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, because it's subconscious. I'm coming from France, basically. I'm here since 3 years in the UK. And it all makes sense, while for me, doesn't release. It's just for me, like, going to a studio there, meeting someone there, going there. And I realized that I've met some of the, the greatest, like, you know, included Damon Albarn, who I work in the, with him in the Africa Express, you know, the Africa Express, the great organization where we actually mix African musicians from all over Africa, plus some great French and UK and European artists. So we do like 2 days of rehearsal somewhere in the world, like Roadkill Festival, for example. 2 days of rehearsing, like everyone mixing. You can play with a hood and a banjo and whatever song it is, and then we're going to have a show for 10 hours, 6 or 7 hours a night in some festivals. And yeah, that I've been very, very lucky to collaboration is all is what I love. Of course, I'll be happy to have my solo starting and going, you know, out but collaborating is just my thing. Definitely, I love it. Like from what Tony says, I know that we can be anything. And that's,
well, that's what's so exciting about this new Noel album, and why, as Oasis fans, we're very lucky this year, because we've had Liam Gallagher's, I don't know if you've heard his album, but it's very straightforward, you know, very well produced, excellent, you know, pop rock album. Whereas Noel's, it feels like he's coming up with something very, very different. So whichever way you fall, if you're an Oasis fan, whether you want the straightforward thing or the thing that's different, well, you've got both, haven't you? Which is
both.
Great.
And that's why it's not a problem.
Oh, no.
That's why it's like rich and people should be happy about it. They have two, you know, their favorite people in the world doing their thing. So you have like double surprises and that's great, no?
It's great. Someone described it the other day as it's like when if you're a parents get divorced, you're sad, but then you get two sets of presents every Christmas, and that's what it feels like.
Exactly.
At the moment.
Only days of the time.
so what's the latest on your own music then? You mentioned you've got a new track coming out soon.
I'm gonna release a track called Who's There, and I've been like since 2 years working with different producers in London. I wanted to have that sound, you know, that I was dreaming of since I was very young. Maybe it doesn't say anything, that sound, but for me as French, yes, it does. And I'm sure American people as well, even if they are great, know what I'm talking about. The UK is something.
Hello, who's there? Hello, who's there? Hello, hello, who's there? I've been thinking, dreaming so much about peace. When I wake up, have no choice, can only hear the police screaming out there. Armies everywhere. That city is a mess, that city is a ghost. Can't barely breathe, cannot believe. I guess I can't complain as I'm still there fighting for living, but is it fair? Wanna get out of here? Is someone cool tell me what's gonna come next? Is someone cool tell me who's gonna be next? Who's listening to me now? Who's listening to me there? Hello, who's there? Hello, hello, who's there? Hello, who's there? Hello, who's there? Hello, hello, who's there? Hello, who's there? Hello, hello, who's there? It was a time when I was laughing at nothing. There was a time I wasn't thinking at all about my goals, about my future. Is this time gone? Can you remember before they came? Destroy you again. Oh, what we have in our life just like a game. Are they playing with us? Do they think it's their right? Are they playing with us? Do they think it's alright? Who's listening to me now? Who's listening to me now? Who's listening to me now? Who's listening to me there? Hello, hello, who's there? Hello, hello, who's there?
I don't know if you guys can describe, but yeah, I've been meeting some people. It hasn't been easy at all. But yeah, I've done it, and I don't have all that done yet. It's gonna start by an EP, gonna start by that first song. It's just an acoustic, this one. I really wanted, after being everywhere trying to find some predictions and after having overproduced some stuff, definitely, I really wanted to go back to the essential and went back to France, actually, with my song done by producers, the UK producers, and went back to France with two of my friends and just with a guitar and some keys, electronic keys, just went back to the essential. Took the best of the song and just did all the song like very, very humbly. So it's in a cafe, there's no click, it's just very fragile and delicate, and but I think it's honest. And if I have to come up with something, at first, I guess any big labels and all that would tell never go start with an acoustic and all that, but I'm not an album, I can do whatever I want. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I have no idea. I guess there's no recipe. But I just hope people will be touched by something that is very, you know, I'm not hiding myself behind any drum or any effect. There's nothing. And that's what I do, singing is what I do. And I shouldn't need, if it was like that, then it would work later with like the production. I shouldn't need more than that. It's what I've actually learned after the 3 years of, you know, looking for production. I went back to the essential. That's funny. So yeah, I'm going to release the first song like this and then keep going it. And hopefully with everything that is happening at the moment, I will, you know, find my team, management, and labels and all that. And quite like the fact that I've been independent till now. That's, as an artist today, that's very difficult, but that's as well a huge freedom. I've been doing some support for Marriage to Blight last summer. And I did it myself. I did George Benson.
Yeah.
I did it myself in Paris, in Olympia. I mean, I'm not sure I would have done all those things with like a label. Maybe they wouldn't even think about that. But for me, it was like learning about those great people, and at the same time, supporting them has been challenging me. And then I was obliged to always like put the level upper, and I've done some great stuff recently. So yeah, I guess, have some advantage and teach you to be by yourself, and at the same time it's hard, we need others, so definitely we'll be happy to find a team that understands me and we can go further together.
No, well, that's great. Well, it's brilliant, isn't it? And so it's really good that you've done these collaborations like with Noel, because that will get you in, you know, your name out to so many other people now, and then that will hopefully find the music. So no, and we'll obviously help you to support you as much as we can. So no, it's great.
Yeah, that would be beautiful, and it's beautiful as well to get to know the crowd of the audience of Noel, and you know who are those people I'm gonna see on stage sometimes. That's interesting, because every artist you work with, every kind of music you do, there's a crowd, a certain crowd, and it's nice to know about anyone as well. It's always like if you have some new guests in your living room, you know, and that counts a lot. That's not just random like that, because I take my energy from when I'm on stage from people I don't think for myself, you know. So yeah, I guess that's good to get new friends.
Well, we're all friends. We've all made a new friend in Wisey, as Noel calls you. But well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate speaking to you, and I'm sure everyone's been enjoying the Fort Knox, and we're all really excited about Noel's album coming out. Have you heard the album yet?
You sure, because it's beautiful. Yes, of course I did. That's a trip to somewhere, and there's no name for the destination, but it's beautiful. That's the only thing I can say.
Okay. Well, we're all very excited. Not long to wait. But,
so be ready to travel. Be ready to have a good trip. Somewhere.
We're going to go on a crazy journey. No drugs needed, yeah. Just the music.
No.
Definitely not. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to speak to you. And all the best. Have a chat about It's Good to Be Free.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we do the Oasis. If you don't listen to the Oasis podcast, I do like an Oasis A to Z, and I'm going through all the tracks now. When I say A to Z, Oasis is actually brackets to Y, because open bracket comes before A in the alphabet. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the first track was brackets as long as they've got cigarettes in hell, and then we're going through all the open brackets, and we haven't got to A yet. There's quite a few open bracket songs, and the next open bracket song we're getting to is It's Good to Be Free. So would someone like to grab a guitar and demonstrate It's Good to Be Free to me?
If you can hear it.
That would be good. If we can, let's say, not to actually play the whole thing, but just to talk through what the chords are and have a go at it.
Do it.
But I mean, so
I do the Noel acoustic kind of using Chapel 2006, 2009 era version.
So Aaron is just opening an acoustic guitar case here, which is
Liam is going to be a Noel.
Liam is going to become Noel, which is what happened when I saw Definitely Might Be, and I wasn't.
They haven't got enough members, I think.
No, that's a four. All right, so
he might be in tune.
So I think we're in tune. Anyway, Noel, what was your name again, Noel?
Stuart.
What's your views on It's Good to Be Free then as a track?
I personally like it's not always one I go to, but it's I find it's a fantastic track, you know, especially when Noel does it acoustically. Like,
well,
I think
that
I
the acoustic.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
sorry,
I actually feel like that's probably one which I can listen to more with Noel singing it rather than, you know, the other way around.
I love the outro where they're messing around in the studio.
Yeah, Boner does the
accordion. Just, I love that about Oasis. Those little kind of bits. It's more on the B sides you get them, but they're so funny.
Yeah, I love it.
And it's I love that little touch that you get, basically.
Yeah, which we'll drop in here. Stop tuning the guitar.
I have to. It's
sound the accordion in the bag.
I'll have you bring out the accordion then. Bonehead stroke wigs.
Right. You actually want me to... Are we just going to talk over it?
Well, no, just... Okay, so get us going.
One, two, three, four. I'll count myself in.
Found it in the hole, sitting upside down. You point your finger at me, but I don't believe. You pay me a wish on a velvet sky. You demand the answers, but don't know why. In my mind, got no time.
Very good, love it.
So happy, all I want to do is live by the sea. The little things that make me so happy. Well, it's good, it's good, it's good to be free. It's good, it's good to be free.
You got to end it professionally.
Come on, round of applause, everyone. Right. So anyway. What is going on here? So what's
chords?
So what's chords wise? What are we doing?
So it's E minor.
Yeah.
then that's like a C. It's a C without the
C major.
C major. Yeah. There, you know it. You know it. Then A7.
Yeah.
So A minor 7. Yeah. Then back to E minor. Okay. And then the chorus is G, A7, E minor.
Lovely. Okay.
A couple of times, and then back to the A7. Do you play guitar? Are we just waxing?
Tiny bit. Tiny bit.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah. It's quite easy. Six or seven chords.
Yeah. Which is pretty expressive for Noel, who's normally like three or four.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But it's a good song. I prefer that version.
Okay. So you prefer the acoustic as well?
Yeah. My first memory of that, they did Maidervale, didn't they? December 94, was Sad Song. It was Joe Wiley. They did that song on there, and they did Sad Song, Talk Tonight. That was my first memory. That would have been December 94, which obviously was when whatever.
That's knowledge, mate. So what would you say if I said to you, it's not what you say, it's what you do. You point the finger at me, but I don't believe. Bring it out home somewhere we found. My head is like a rock sitting upside down. In my mind, there is no time.
Whatever. That was my first memory of that. And obviously, yeah, it's a
beast. Game started.
But that was my first time.
Like, Aaron, what's that thing that happened like a few in that era? It's, oh yeah, I know.
13th of December, 1994.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what he's like.
It's so, been, you know, you've shown him it, like made you listen to a YouTube clip, and you can tell, like, he can tell you what tell Liam's what,
yeah,
wearing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And just like.
Oh, sometime. Yeah. Let's not
be like. No. Let's be honest. It is like. It is
I can tell the era. I reckon for yeah. most Oasis fans.
Well, Liam left his house that day at 6:23. He went and bought a pint of milk at 6:27.
I think that was the day that he had an argument with Patsy.
Yeah, and then he had a poo at 6:29. But no, well, that's it. So what do we think? So one of the things I think about the main proper recording of it is that it's just feedback. It's the most most feedback heavy song they ever did, which I don't quite understand why that one would have been so feedback driven.
But like, it's even more so live, isn't it?
Adds to the
well?
Sound a bit, doesn't it? Though,
yeah.
I don't mind that. But I definitely prefer the acoustic version.
Yeah, I remember just hearing that thing. It changes the song for you, doesn't it? So I like the song. It wasn't one like Stu says that you'd always go to. It's a classic B-side. But as soon as Noel did it that way and broke it down and changed it slightly, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You kind of hear how it was written, don't you, I suppose?
Mm. No, see, I prefer the electric version just because, I mean, anything where Liam sings it or Noel sings it, I'll generally go for Liam's vocal.
Yeah, that was when he was... probably 94, 95, like the White Game, wasn't it, 95 and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I think they started playing it, yeah, from that Maidervale, and they dropped it, I think, by, I think it's June 95, and they stopped playing it live. Because they played it when I saw them, they played it all throughout, and then when they start in the Morning Glory stuff, it drops out of the set. But and obviously Live by the Sea, the line, then becomes the video of Live by the Sea. And that's for me is the main version of that song is the Live by the Sea.
Yeah.
Live by the Sea, you know, that version, which I just think is incredible. Got little wings, I made you so happy. All I wanna do is live by the sea. Got little wings, I made you so happy. But it's gone. Yes, it's gone, it's got to be great. Yes, it's gone, it's got to be great.
Yeah, it's a good song. Like you say, it's not one you always go to, but you always appreciate it. If it came on, I'd be bopping my head.
What I love about it is, like, because it's so minor and it's so melancholy, and yet the lyrics, when he's saying, like, it's the little things that make me so happy, but yeah, it's like a melancholy way of saying that. It's a little bit...
Yeah, all juxtaposition, isn't it?
Juxtaposition. Noel probably can't spell that.
Who can?
No, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good song. It is a good song. But then again, that, you know, they're famous for their B-sides. That's another one that...
Yeah.
That most people will love, isn't it? I think
would have loved it as an edit. And would you say, anyone here think that it should have been an album track, or it should have been a single, or do you think it's right as a B-side?
I think it's right as a B-side.
It was Master Plan, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was on the Master Plan. It made Master Plan.
In that era, they were probably...
Well, it was right
you
could
take
between.
Out Hey Now, couldn't you? I'd rather have Good To Be Free than Hey Now.
It's a song for the fans, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's one night where not everyone's going to know. You know, everyone knows your Wonderwalls and Live Forevers and all that other stuff.
If it had to be on an album, it'd be Here Now. Like, that's just, it's just, you know, it's just, it's just over, like, you know, it's just that wall
right
of sound.
Noise,
yeah, it is,
shh.
Yeah.
You know.
But live, it's even, the feedback's even stronger, like, the live versions, like the White Room and stuff, it's really, like, almost peaks at some stages.
I don't understand why, I'd say, it's one of those that's weird, like, why are they... Why is there so much feedback throughout that song? I just don't quite get it, but you know. But it's as I say, I think it's a great little song. And
yeah, it's a good song. Yeah, it's a good song.
And
yeah,
so far from our A to Z's, it is leading the way. So it is so far the number one Oasis song, although it hasn't had a huge amount of competition so far.
I was gonna say,
as long as they got Cigarettes in Hell, Get Off Your High Horse, Lady.
Oh yeah.
And what else?
Was it a Quit Pete?
Oh no, I Got the Fever.
Oh, I Got the Fever. That's a tune. We always talk about
that. That's one of my favourites. Yeah.
So thank you to the Oasis guys, and make sure you check those guys out. That's it's OAS-IS. They are a fantastic Oasis tribute band, and if you get a chance to see them, make sure you do and check them out on the different social medias. And we recorded a load more as well, plenty of other chats, so make sure you listen out for the next couple of weeks when we'll be dropping the rest of that in the episode. Now we got an audio message from Paul Costello, who gave his thoughts on It's Good to Be Free. So let's have a bit of that.
Hey James, it's Paul here from Dublin, Ireland. Just wanted to drop you a message. I seen on Twitter that you were going to be talking about It's Good to Be Free, so I said I'd throw in my two pence for what they're worth. But first though, I just want to say really enjoying the podcast. Only found it recently, so I'm still catching up with the episodes, but really, really enjoying it. So fair play and keep it up. As someone who's been an Oasis fan for years, since I was a child, it's nice to find something like this, and it's really reminded me of how much I loved Oasis, because they were the first band I started listening to and got me into music in a big way. And not that I'd stopped listening to them or anything in the intervening years, but I suppose I'd just been listening to other stuff, and so it's good to be reminded of how much I love them, and so thank you for that. So It's Good to Be Free, definitely one of my favorites. I gave it a 5 out of 5 on the Twitter poll. Now that said, it wouldn't be the first one I'd think of if someone asked me what my favorite Oasis tune was, but It's Good to Be Free. I mean, the melody alone, I think, is really strong. If that was an instrumental song, it still would be great, because that melody is so good. And there's some great lyrics in there as well. I really like the line, paint me a wish on a velvet sky, you demand the answers but don't know why. I love that. Love the guitar intro and the solo at the end, the way it starts on the lower register and then repeats over on the higher register. I really like that. Love all the sort of bits of guitar feedback that sort of occur throughout the song at the start and different points. I like the rawness. It just sounds like a band playing in a room. I like that you can hear them sort of talking and laughing at the start and at the end with the accordion bit. I really like the sort of tremolo effect on the keyboard that plays throughout. I think it's a keyboard. It could be a guitar, but I think it's a keyboard. And chord-wise, it's pretty standard, but there's one thing in it I like, which occurs in the verses and the chorus as well. It's under the vocal line. It goes from the A major to the A minor chord, and I think it's a really effective thing, and it's not something you hear much in many songs, and it's something I always liked about the song, even though before I knew how to play guitar and understood what it was, but just something that I thought was worth mentioning. You point your finger at me, but I don't believe. Because it's not a very common thing to go from a major chord to the same chord but the minor straight afterwards. What else do I like about it? Of course, the random little accordion bit at the end reminds me of something I would have heard years ago in some little pub down the west somewhere. I don't know, maybe they got that from their Irish parents, or maybe I heard they used to come to Ireland as kids during the summer, so maybe that's where that came from. I don't know why it's thrown in, but I really like it. I love little quirky things like that. So a boss like that as well. I think that's everything. I prefer it to Noel's version, the original, not just because it's Liam singing it. I mean, I think Noel sings it fine, but I just prefer that full band and the sort of rawness of it, like I'm saying, with the bits of guitar feedback and such. Anyway, I think I'll stop before I waffle on too much longer, but thank you if you do play this, and like I say, great work with the show, and keep it up, and hopefully talk again soon. Okay, take care, James.
Thank you very much, Paul. Fantastic stuff. And if you want to contribute to the show, then you can be like Paul and just record an audio message and drop it into me. So any app on an iPhone or an Android audio recorder app or voice memo app, just hit record, talk into it, and then email it over to oasispod@gmail.com. And as long as it's interesting, I'll play it. The next song coming up to cover is Probably All in the Mind. So if you have any views on that, then yeah, feel free to record it and email it over. Or anything, gig reviews, or if you want to tell us a story about meeting Noel or Liam or one of the other guys, then absolutely fantastic. I look forward to receiving it. So as I said to the Oasis guys, the it's good to be free rating. So we did the poll on it, and we got loads of you voted, which was fantastic. And the average score was 4.13. So that's ahead of I Got the Fever Now in second at 3.8. So looking at your comments, Fraser McCallum said, a classic Noel lyric of apparently nonsense, then delivers his unique brand of brilliantly familiar wisdom. This song is one of the little things that makes me so happy about Oasis, and I always want to live by the sea. Michael Callan said, voted 5, it's a seriously underrated tune, brilliant. At Lila95 said, I voted 3, don't like Noel's acoustic version, but think it's a good song with decent lyrics. Colin Partington said, great song, this is at the time when you couldn't see Oasis bringing out anything bad, it was good to be free back then. Foodman Beard says, 5 all the way, love this tune. David Walker says, great tune with great lyrics, used to love the Live by the Sea version and used to play it to death. Paint me a wish on a velvet sky, you demand the answers but don't know why. Don't know exactly what it means, but love it. Tune. Rolex 80, who is at Georgie BW, says, one of my favourites, love the video of them playing it in the White Room. Danielle at Danielle 19 says, 5 out of 5, proper tune this, up there is one of my favourites, great lyrics and melody, can't go wrong. At Supernova Dragon, I find it very meh in many ways, decent lyrics, decent tune, but other than that, very meh. Liam's vocals aren't the best compared to other tunes in the same period, and I just feel in many ways it isn't overshadowed or underrated, it's just rated how it should be. Kieran Clue says, great tune. Julian Regan Mears says, acoustic version is great, loved it live on Noel's International Magic Tour. Richard Bowes, great song, even though Noel played it live first when he first went solo, see what he did there. It's strangely forgotten when the great B-sides are mentioned. Ah, yeah, of course. It's good to be free. Very good point. I hadn't even thought of that. Clarkey at Clarkey underscore 18 underscore. The NG plays this acoustically and it sounds great against the electric version on the B-side. Shows how good the song is. Chord progression is another staple of NG stuff. Simple but effective. Any version is brilliant. Kevin Iverson said, one of my favourite Oasis B-sides. I've still got a cassette with them doing it live on the White Room. Just class for me. Khan Might Say said, the guitar solo at the end is unbelievably good. Noel in his element. So simple yet so classy. Great vocal from Liam. Great keys playing, probably from Boned, going through a tremolo effect. And an infectious melody with melancholic yet hopeful lyrics. Oasis at their finest. 5 out of 5. Robbie Folly said, it's the little things that make me so happy. All I want to do is live by the sea. Aspirational, simple human feelings. Haku Huang says, who is Haku, at Haku Inside, says, I like it. Both Liam and Noel version is brilliant, although they sound like two completely different songs, but prefer Noel acoustic version much more. Che UK, who is at LDN Che, says, it's not in what you say, it's in what you do. Fantastic. And Trevor Duncanson says, love this song. Sounds like it should have been from the Be Here Now era, based on the intro. Because of that sound, and since Be Here Now is my favourite album, it's one of my favourites off the Master Plan. So thank you everyone who contributed to that. Yeah, a few points there that I didn't discuss with the Oasis guys. I think the guitar solo at the end is really good. It's not like Up There Would Live Forever, but it does go through a few different runs, a few different lines. So, and I think it's more just the feel of it. It's more just that kind of moody, sort of melancholic feel to it. And as I said in that interview with them, it's the juxtaposition, big word alert, of the melancholy sound of the recording with the hopeful sounding lyrics that I find so interesting. So just to get into some of the other facts about the song, so it was a B-side to Whatever, and then it was featured on the Master Plan. Probably the best point about it, and I'll link this article below, is the fantastic Oasis recording info website run by David Huggins, which is, as I've said before on here, an invaluable source. He has an interview with Marty Lester, who was the assistant studio engineer at Congress House Studio in Austin, Texas, where they recorded It's Good to Be Free, Talk Tonight, and Half the World Away. And it's covered off in there, but basically they came through Austin while on tour. It's quite interesting that in that interview, Marty Lester actually says that Owen Morris actually kind of banned him from the studio. Which, as soon as he'd shown him how to use the console, he actually banned the guy from the studio, which is bizarre. And he explains how Liam was pretty obnoxious the whole time. And he actually says, "I believe most of his venom was spat in the direction of the obviously shoddy drummer. He was merciless on him." Which does ring true to what we've heard before about how Tony was treated. But as I say, I think Tony's drumming is absolutely fine on It's Good to Be Free. And then Owen is quoted in this article as saying that this session is when it really started to kick in with Tony McCarroll. Noel was in his booth by himself and he had a microphone shouting instructions to the rest of the band. Tony didn't play It's Good to Be Free right the first time, second time, third time. He got it right in about six goes and Noel was really getting annoyed at him saying things like, "If you don't get this right, I'm going to come out here and kick your head in." Eventually he got the rhythm down and the rest of the band played their parts with Noel playing some amazing lead guitar. He was on this demented coke trip from the week before. And then Noel was quoted about it as well. He said, "We did It's Good to Be Free in Texas as well. I'd been in Las Vegas, strung out for 4 or 5 days. I wrote that there. That's one of my favourites. Just the little things that make me so happy. All I want to do is live by the sea. I suppose I was thinking mentally I'd freed myself. Me off my fucking tits on drugs, by the way. It was shit at that time on that American tour. I remember it being fucking horrible because we were in a position of blowing it big time. We were only playing little clubs at the time, 1,500 people. The gig at the Whiskey was shit. Everyone was just going mad, me included. Somebody put out a set list for me from the previous British tour. So I was going into these songs and everyone else was going into a different one. The gigs were buzzing and sold out. The bit at the end is off Captain Pugwash because Bonehead can play the accordion. He used to play it in some Irish band he was in and we recorded it on a little Walkman. God knows why we put that on there at the end, but it still makes me laugh when I hear it." So just to remind you, if you don't know what Captain Pugwash is, here's Captain Pugwash. Well, where can you go after Captain Pugwash? I think that's that can't be topped. So if you wanted to weigh in on It's Good to Be Free, or as I say, for Probably All in the Mind, which is coming up next, then do let me know. But that's it for today. So thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and especially thanks to our patrons, Remy, Jim, Richard, Amy, Mark, Dana, Mike, Jeff, Davey, Jason, David, Casey, and Fraser. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post articles by myself and the wonderful contributors Richard and Kyle. Support at $3 per month or above qualifies you for your own bespoke song if you want it, and when my mate Joel gets his iPad fixed, we can start doing them again. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, just at Oasis Podcast. Email me at oasispod@gmail.com. T-shirts and anything else with the Oasis Podcast logo are available at TeePublic. And please subscribe and review on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.